I am so excited that we are kicking off the new decade together. I hope your holidays were awesome. A few updates about my holidays, very important. I have not seen Star Wars yet. Please, no spoilers. I have worked so hard to not have it spoiled yet. I'm seeing it with my husband tomorrow. I'm pretty sure giving people spoilers is a sin. The Bible doesn't technically say that, but I feel like Jesus would back me up on that. Please, no spoilers. The other important thing is that for the first time together, we've done it separately, but never together, my husband and I went to Mexico. We spent New Year's Eve in Mexico, and let me just tell you, the fireworks in America are pretty good, but the fireworks in Mexico are, como se dice, way freaking better. What an experience. I highly recommend it. It was amazing. The other important thing is that this year, my husband and I decided that we were going to teach my family a new card game. It was a big deal because his family is a big card family. We're going to teach my family a new card game. We taught them the rules. We tried to explain it as best as we could. But after a day of playing cards, my mom somehow wasn't winning one hand, and that wasn't typical for her. And we were playing and playing and playing, and finally, after my husband won one hand, we threw all of our cards in. But she had thrown her cards in face up, so we saw the hand that she had. And as we all looked, we turned and looked at her. Homegirl had the winning hand. Mom, why didn't you play these cards? She looked at them. She had no idea the power that was in her hands. She went on to say, I was reading the rules. I was looking at how all of y'all were playing, but I didn't realize the importance of what was at my own fingertips. And then we explained to her what all of her cards meant, and she may or may not have kicked our butts the rest of the day, so we don't gotta talk about that. But it made me think, I wonder if some of us are living our lives this way. I wonder if some of us are wondering, man, why aren't we getting a win? Why can't we have victory over this thing in our lives? We're wondering, why don't we have more joy? Why don't we have more margin or time? Why don't we have more contentment? Why don't we have better relationships? Why don't we have a healthier community? And I wonder if some of us are so obsessed with how the game of life is supposed to be played. I wonder if some of us are obsessed with how other people are playing their cards or living their lives. I wonder if we don't know the power that is at our own fingertips. What is in our own hands? This year, we are kicking off the decade with this series, Life Plus. And I love this series title because nowadays so many things are called something plus. It is an upgraded version of something you knew before. Like we got Disney Plus. You thought you knew Disney, you did not know Disney this way. You can watch all the cartoons, all the Marvel, all the Star Wars. Good for us, we can watch Frozen whenever we want. What a joy. My husband loves ESPN Plus. There's more sports, there's more commentaries, there's more documentaries, more reasons to ignore your wife. Like just more, more, more. I heard this week they opened up a KFC Plus. You get more gravy with everything. I'm glad some of you were laughing. I was scared you'd believe me. There is no KFC Plus. We have enough. But I love this idea of plus. And when it comes to a new year and a new decade, many of us are wondering, is there an upgrade to my life? Is there a way for this to be better than the version that I knew before? And what we're going to be unpacking in this series is that there is, and it is available to us, and it's actually at the palm of our own hands. Our series verse is from Jesus himself. In John 10:10, he says this, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. We realize from Jesus that it's not only available to us, but it was part of his purpose to give it to us. And it's part of our purpose to receive it. And throughout this series, we are going to uncover the ways, the practical tools, the keys, the cards that are in our hands for us to access more joy, more time and margin, more contentment, more community. And I propose that the way for us to access the fullest life we can is at our own fingertips. How are we going to have the fullest life this year and this decade? It's going to have very little to do with external circumstances. It's going to have very little to do with how other people are living their lives, how other people are playing their cards, or how we think the rules are supposed to be played. It's going to have everything to do with us pausing to see what's at our fingertips, the choices that we can make, the things we can focus on, the things we can surrender, the ways we can make room in our lives. It is actually within our own power to have the fullest life we can have. And the most important choice that we can make, the most foundational choice that we can make, the main way that we can live life to the fullest is to choose Jesus. It's the most important choice, and it's the first choice. And if you're new to this church thing, or you're new to this God thing, you came for a great weekend to come and experience it all for the first time. I'm so stoked you're here. If we've never met, I want you to know, I've known life without Jesus really well. And now I know life with Jesus, and it's totally different. And so as we go through this today, and as we go through this throughout this series, I want you to know I didn't learn this from a textbook. I learned it by living it. And I know with all of my heart that the most important choice we can make to have life to the fullness is to give our lives to Jesus. Jesus gives us this perfect example of how when we're connected to him, we get the fullest lives we can. He gives an example of how he is like a vine. A main vine has all of the nutrients in it, all of the water in it, all of the life in it, and how we are like branches connected to him. And as we're connected to him, we get life, we get nutrients, we get to grow. And as we stay healthy, we grow and we start to produce fruit. And it grows and grows and grows. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. My Father examines every branch in me and cuts away those who do not bear fruit. He leaves those bearing fruit and carefully prunes them so they will bear more fruit. Already you are clean because you have heard my voice. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. A branch cannot bear fruit if it is disconnected from the vine, and neither will you if you are not connected to me. Jesus is saying, you will not have the full life you can if you disconnect from me. But even those of us who are connected to Jesus and we're growing fruit, some of us can attest to this. There sometimes is still some trimming. There's still some pruning. There's still some toxic relationships we got to get rid of sometimes. There's still some fear and anxiety and addictions we have to surrender sometimes. Yes, there's sometimes things we got to get rid of, but that's because he wants us to grow even more, produce even more fruit. Jesus continues, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Without me, you can accomplish nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is like a branch that is tossed out and shrivels up and is later gathered to be tossed into the fire to burn. If you abide in me and my voice abides in you, anything you ask will come to pass for you. Your abundant growth and your faithfulness as my followers will bring glory to God the Father. It's saying if you're not connected to me, you will never access your full potential. If you're not connected to me, your life will never be all that it could be. In fact, Rebecca Lyons says it in her beautiful book, Rhythms of Renewal. She says, nothing that God calls us to is possible without him. We want all these things in this new year, this new decade. We will not accomplish the dreams God has put inside of us. We will not be able to fulfill what we feel that he is telling us to do if we don't stay connected to him. Jesus continues in verse 9, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands and you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Jesus is revealing to us, it's important that we get connected to him, that we give our lives to him, but it's also important that we stay connected to him, not just give our lives to him, but be in continuous relationship with him, constantly getting the nutrients, constantly letting him trim the branches so we can grow more. We have to stay connected, and that comes in our choices. Here in John 15, Jesus is revealing to us the card that is in our hands. He is showing us that life plus is possible when we are connected to Jesus. That is our first fill in the blank today. If you're taking notes, you're a note taker in your program or in the app, life plus is possible when you're connected to Jesus. That's the main point of our series. I hope you come every week as we unpack what that means and what that practically looks like. Life Plus is possible when we're connected to Jesus. We're talking about the source of our lives. This is a source issue. Many of us, when it comes to the new year, we make a list of all the things we want to fix, all the remedies that we want for things in our lives we feel are not up to par. I'm a lot like that. I remember years ago, I was flying for work every week, and I was incredibly unhealthy. My body was going through things I did not know it could. I was getting more weight than I thought. I was having more acne than I thought. My back was hurting. My legs were hurting. I was getting the flu all the time. And finally, I just went to my doctor, and I said, whatever meds you got, give them over. Whatever you got, I'll take them all. Give me the steps. I was looking on Instagram to find the cute meme, like how to be healthy. I was looking on TED Talks, like how to fix all these back problems. I went to my doctor and I said, give me all the remedies for all these symptoms. And my doctor said to me, Hosanna, what are you eating? I was like, all the mac and cheese. Come on, somebody. He was like, I make a lot of money selling medicine for the symptoms of problems that people create for themselves so that they can have a remedy, a short-lived solution. I want you to know with what you're going through specifically, there is no medicine that can substitute for a healthy diet and some exercise. I am not telling any of us in here to get off our meds. Come on, Jesus. But for me in that moment, it was like everything you're going through is because of a source issue. He said to me, Hosanna, I hear that you want to solve all these symptoms. I want to help you solve the source. I want to help you solve the source of your problems. And this is a lot like what Jesus is saying right here. When it comes to the new year, I know we have all of these things that we want to fix for good reason. We want to fix our financial problems. We want to fix our relationship problems, our anxiety problems, our depression problems. We want to deal with our pride problems. We have margin problems. We want to fix all of these problems, but Jesus is saying, I want to do more than just help you with the symptoms. I want to help you with the source. I want you to find your source in me. I know that you have all these symptoms. I want to help you with the source. And if we do not become a group of people who can pause in the chaos of our culture and reassess how we're doing, where is our heart really, how are our lives doing really, we will start having the same New Year's resolutions every year when we're just trying to solve all the symptoms, but we're not going to the source. This is a source issue. Life Plus is possible when we're connected to Jesus. And Life Plus is possible when Jesus is primary and everything else is secondary. That's the second fill in the blank. Life Plus is possible when Jesus is primary and everything else is secondary, when Jesus is first and everything else is after. But for many of us, we have that flipped. We think, we got to figure out this thing with my job and my career. I got to figure out this thing with my relationships and my community and the crew that I'm in. I got to figure out this thing with my spouse. I got to figure out this thing with my soul care, my daily routines. And then I'm going to figure out how to bring Jesus into all of that. Once I figure out all of that, I'm going to figure out how to bring Jesus into my job and into my family and into my soul care. But we have it reversed. That's how we get frustrated. That's not how we get free. We have it flipped. We need to connect to Jesus first, make this the relationship, the thing that we're obsessed about, and then he fills us with his wisdom, and that overflows into everything else. He fills us with his joy, and that overflows to everything else, fills us with his healing, and through that place of being healed, our perspective flows into everything else. And by the way, when it comes to soul care, I know it's really easy to think I'm gonna get my hair did, my nails done, and I'm gonna have some soul care today. But soul care is so much more than the soul care you need for today. It's about the soul care you need for a lifetime. Are we really doing soul care? Are we really taking care of our souls and how we're living our lives? Jesus has to be primary and everything else has to be secondary. And also, our relationship with Jesus has to come first and our worry about everyone else's relationship with Jesus has to come after. For some of us, it's so much easier to fix other people and find out all the things that are wrong about them than it is for us to see how our heart is doing and how our relationship with Jesus is doing. We want our kids to be a certain way, our spouse to be a certain way, our friends to be a certain way. And sometimes it's harder to pause and stop and think, man, am I getting everything I can from him? And then as he fills our lives, then from that place of abundance, we can influence those around us. My husband will be the first to tell you, it is very hard to change your wife. When he asked my mom for my hand in marriage, this is a true story, this sweet woman somehow said to this man who wanted to marry me, you know, when it comes to Hosanna, what you see is what you get. So are you sure? Thanks, Mom. I can't wait to beat you in cards for the rest of my life. But it's kind of true. We have to stop thinking, I'm going to pick this and hopefully change it. I'm going to pick it and hopefully change it. We have to stop looking at everyone else's card. Some of us are so obsessed with what other people are doing, we are missing out on the life that is right in front of us. We have to make sure that Jesus is primary and everything else is secondary. Matthew 6:33 says this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." The kingdom of God is the place where everything that God wants comes to pass. This verse is saying you seek God first and everything he wants to happen first, and then everything you need will come to pass. What's all these things that it's talking about? In the verses before, it talks about how we're all stressed out about what we're eating today. We're all stressed out about what we're wearing this week. We're all stressed out about what we're doing with our lives, what other people think about us, our jobs, our careers, what is God calling us to do? We're worried, we're stressed. And this verse is saying, you seek first what God wants. You seek first the thing that God wants in you and in other people and in the world. Seek all those things first, and all the important things will be added to you. And make no mistake, all the lesser important things, there won't even be room for all of those. What are all the things that we get when we connect to Jesus? What are all the things? If he's the vine and we're the branches, what do we get when we're connected to him? What is this fruit that we bear if we keep growing in him? Galatians 5:22 tells us that when we get Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. So it bears all this amazing fruit, makes our lives extraordinary, not just to us, but to the world around us. And this is the fruit that we get. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love and all of its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. This is what we get when we are connected to Jesus. How do we get connected? The most important thing we can do is give our lives to Jesus. In fact, at the end of this service, I'm gonna give us an opportunity for anyone who has not given their life to Jesus to give their life to him today. I want you to have the fullest life that you can possibly have, and I don't think we need to wait 1 minute. So at the end of this service, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to do that. Another way we stay connected with Jesus is we stay in community with people who also know Jesus, like Jesus, wanna talk about Jesus. And another great way that we stay connected is by being in the Word of God, by knowing what he says about us more than what the world says about us, by scrolling through his words more than we're scrolling through our Instagrams, by knowing what his purpose is for us, not what the world thinks our purpose should be. And I love this Bible in 1 year app that we're all doing as a church. To me, it's like, Eureka, we found it. We found a way for us to access the Bible in an actual practical way. Because for some of us, reading the Bible is really daunting and hard, so we just don't even try at all. If you're anything like me, maybe you grew up in a really traditional, religious, and legalistic religion where you felt like you had to read the Bible to be saved. You had to read the Bible to make your parents happy or to make the pastors happy. So you just don't read the Bible because it didn't come off as a good thing to you. It didn't come off as fun to you. And maybe some of us rebelled because we're just trying to prove, like, we don't need that to be saved. And we don't. We don't have to read the Bible in order to be saved, but the Bible is available to us if we want to have the fullest life we can and have the best relationship with Jesus that we can. I came to a place where the Bible was no longer mandated to me, but I realized I needed it to live. I needed it to breathe. I needed it to get over my insecurities. I needed it to be a confident woman. I needed it to be a woman of power, not a woman obsessed with product. I needed it to see the world through Jesus' eyes, to have an attitude that was loving and kind. I needed to be in the Word of God. And I think the enemy has kind of distorted it for some of us by thinking, you don't need that, that's religion. And I'm so sorry if he's won that lie in your life. I'm excited about this Bible app because it's a way for us to say, I'm going to claim back my life. I want to hear what God says about me because I want the fullest life I can have. And I think for some of us, we know the Bible's important. We want to read it. We've tried many times at the beginning of the year. But for a lot of us, we're extremely busy and we hate reading. And so I love the audio aspect of this Bible app that we're doing because it lets me know I can listen to this app on my way to work. I can listen to this app while I'm getting ready for the day, getting on fleek. I can listen to this app with kids in my car. And so they are starting to get a palette for reading the Word of God and what it does to their lives. I'm so glad because I am so passionate about this generation not being a generation of excuses. I don't read the Bible because I don't like the tradition. I'm not reading the Bible because I'm very busy. I'm so passionate. I believe in this generation that we can be a generation that says, I'm going to take control of my life. I'm going to be intentional with my life. I'm going to be bolder and stronger and more confident than I've ever been. I'm going to be in the Word of God like my life depends on it. That is how we can stay connected to Jesus. And then when we stay connected to Jesus, we get all these fruits. We get this joy that overflows, this peace that subdues. We get a perspective that changes our lives and changes the world. And for the next 10 minutes, I just want to focus really quickly on the joy that overflows, the joy that we get when we're connected to Jesus. There's some myths about joy in our world. I just want to debunk three of them. One, joy is not found in circumstances. Joy is found in Jesus. Joy is not found in your circumstances. We can't say, I'll have joy if I get that job, because your job can always change. I'll have joy once my relationship looks like this, but how your relationship looks can change. I'll have joy once people say this about me, but God knows what people think about us always changes. We can't find our joy based on circumstances because they're always changing, but Jesus does not. In fact, Kay Warren, who's a powerful preacher, author, and leader, wrote a book called Choose Joy. And even after her son, Matthew, passed away, she boldly preached this in the middle of her circumstances. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all of the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in all things. She is saying this, I don't have joy because of my circumstances, clearly. I have joy in spite of my circumstances because I do not live from a place of trying to achieve joy or a place of looking for joy. I live from a place of joy, knowing that God is already in control. And as I go through this circumstance, I'm going through it with the lens of already having joy. We don't define God based on what our circumstances are. We define our circumstances based on who God is. Joy is not found in circumstances. Joy is only found in Jesus. And joy is not a feeling. Joy is a choice. That's the second lie I want to debunk real quick. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice we make despite how we feel. And for a lot of us, we're like, that sounds good. Like, I would love to know how to choose joy. Like, how do I muster that up? I just want to give us two ways that we can choose joy real quick. It's not really in your outline, but you can just add it in the margins real quick. Here are two ways that we choose joy. First of all, joy is a choice of focus. Joy is a choice of focus. Write that in. Focus. I promise you, whatever you're staring at, that's all you'll see. In fact, in Hebrews 12:2, it says this, now stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of that death because he focused on the joy that was set before him. And now he is seated beside God on the throne, a place of honor. It's saying when Jesus was going to the cross to die for all of our sins, he had to make a choice to ignore the shame that everyone else was trying to give him and focus on the joy that was coming from God alone. He had to focus on the joy that was before him. For many of us, we need to ignore some shame in our lives. We need to start ignoring the shame that's coming from other people's opinions about us. We need to start ignoring the shame from the voice in our own head that tells us we're not good enough. We need to start ignoring the shame from things that we did 20 years ago that we already said sorry for. We need to start ignoring the shame and focusing on the joy that comes from being connected to Jesus. Because Jesus ignored the shame and focused on the joy, he was able to fulfill the purpose for his life. I wonder what's at risk in this room if we don't start ignoring some shame and start focusing on some joy. Joy is a choice of focus. Joy is also a choice of action. That's the other way it's a choice. Write that in. Joy is a choice of action. Joy is an action. In Luke 6:38, it says, don't hold back, give freely, and you'll have plenty poured back into your lap, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, brimming over. You'll receive in the same measure you give. This verse shows us, man, the action of giving, the action of giving joy, it's less like an arrow and more like a boomerang. You give it and it comes back to you. You want to know, how can I get joy? The question then becomes, how can I give it away? How can I be a joy giver? We want to have joy. We want to access joy. How can we do that? Man, give your life to Jesus and give joy away. Stay intentionally connected with Jesus and keep giving joy away. Make the decision that this week you're going to text somebody every day, 7 people, 7 days, with an encouraging, life-giving text out of the blue. Give joy away. Make the decision that you're going to volunteer at church or in your community in a way you never have before and give joy away. Plan an outing with your friends for no reason at all. Make the invites, pick the place. Give joy away. Joy is a choice of focus and it's a choice of action. And the final point about joy that you can write in the fill in the blanks is that joy is not an add-on, joy is an add-in. And I know those words are very similar. Joy is not an add-on, joy is an add-in, but an add-on is something that you can just add on top of everything else. But an add-in comes on the inside. It surrounds everything inside of you. It fills you up until you overflow. Joy, joy is an add-in. And for something to add into our lives, not just on top of everything, but into our lives, it needs room. Joy needs room. The turning of the decade for me means a lot to me because it was a decade ago where I packed my life into suitcases, left behind my old life to go on the road and share the gospel through spoken word poetry and preaching. And I remember at the time, it was one of the scariest moments of my life, and it was hard to talk about 10 years ago, but I was giving up my apartment, my relationship, my job, and as I was looking to see what I could bring with me on the adventure I felt God was telling me to do, I realized I had my 1996 red Toyota Corolla, which would be my only transportation for that year. Don't knock on Corollas. Your great-great-grandma's Corolla still works. So practical and dope. And I thought, looking at all my stuff, I'm going to go on the road, live on the road and do this. All this stuff, I can't take it with me. It just won't fit. I can't take all these things I've been holding on to and accumulating. And so I had to downsize my life into 2 suitcases to fit into this car and do what I felt God was telling me to do. I had to look at the stuff that was the most important to me and the things that I had to get rid of and throw away. And as I was sitting on my living room floor, looking at all my stuff, I realized this was true about my heart. If I wanted everything God had for me, all this stuff inside of me, I couldn't take it with me. The things that were going on in my life would stand in the way of receiving all the healing I really wanted, the healthy relationships I really wanted. I had said yes to God, but there truly just wasn't room. I had people in my life that I still hated. People I had not forgiven, things I had done that I had not said sorry for or forgiven myself for. I was in multiple unhealthy relationships. I had addictions I wouldn't get rid of. There was materialistic things I was still worshiping, things about myself I was still obsessed with. I realized as I sat there, if I wanted everything God had for me, all this stuff, I couldn't take it with me. There just wasn't room. If I wanted to have everything God had for me, I had to surrender some things. And it was the hardest thing I ever had to do, was to make that kind of room. But I want you to know that as we hit the new decade and we hit the new year, for many of us, we think our questions should be, what are all the things that we can add on? And really the question for many of us is, what do we need to surrender? What do we need to give up so that there is room for God to do everything he wants to do in our lives? Maybe there's not all these add-ons that we need. Maybe there's things we need to release. Maybe for some of us, there's not an app that we need to add on to improve our lives. Maybe there's an app we need to delete. Maybe there's not all of these new habits that we need to try out. Maybe there's some habits we've had for a few years that we need to let go of, repent of, and turn away from. Maybe there's not all these new things that we want to try out this year. Maybe there's some things we did last year that we need to apologize for or forgive ourselves for or forgive someone else for. I'm saying for some of us, the question is not, what do we got to add on for this new year? The question is, what do I need to surrender? Do we want to make room for God to be able to do all that he wants to do? I'm going to invite the band to come back out, and they're going to sing this song called Make Room. I'm going to ask you to stay seated. And in this song, it says, I will make room for you. Do whatever you want to. This isn't about the symptoms. This isn't about all the external resolutions that we make. This is about our hearts. This is about the source of our lives. I don't want us to have the same resolutions every year. I want us to change the source of our lives. How are our hearts really? In fact, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. But for many of us, we obsess more about what other people think about us, what other things we're accomplishing, and we don't stop to think about our hearts. So today, as we kick off this new year, I want to give us an opportunity. I want to pray for two groups. One, I want to pray for a group of people who want to give their lives to Jesus. You're saying, I'm ready to make him my number one. I've never picked Jesus before, but I want to give him my life. I want you to know that he will rock your world, change your life, heal your brokenness. Jesus does not want to be an extra thing. Jesus wants to be everything. He is also not an add-on. He is an add-in. And as you add him into your life, you will never be the same. I promise you. That is how you live life to the fullest. And then I want to pray for a second group. Those of us who have already picked Jesus. We're down for the G-O-D. We love all of it, but we know our hearts are cluttered. There's some things people did to us that we have not forgiven them for or let go of. We think about it every day. It consumes our lives. It's stealing from us. There are things we did years ago that we still feel guilty for and shame about that we need to surrender and bring to God. There are things we are worshiping and obsessing over, and because it's not as bad as some other people's things, we've let it pass. But we need to surrender these things if we want to make room for God to do all he wants to do in us, in our church, in our community, in our world. I think God is calling us to start making some room, not to add on, but to add him in. I want to pray for those of us who have chosen Jesus but want to surrender some stuff in their lives. That will be me as well. I need to make some room. So would you all bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I'm going to first ask for the group that already has picked Jesus, but you want to surrender some stuff in your life. The group that already has picked Jesus, but you know that you want to make some room for him to do all that he wants to do. And then I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, and then I'm going to ask you to keep them raised as I call up the next group to join you. So if that's you, if you've picked Jesus, but now you want to surrender some more things in your life to make more room for him to do what he wants to do, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. One, two, three. Hands up all over the room in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I see you, sir, in the back. I see you feeling back. Yes, keep your hands raised. Keep your hands raised. I'm going to call up another group to join their hands raising with us. If you are someone that says, I want to pick Jesus for the very first time, I want him to be my number one in charge of my life. I want to make room for him to do whatever he wants to do. On the count of three, would you all raise your hands? One, two, three. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hands, sir. I see your hand, ma'am, in the back. I see you in the front. Raise your hands in the name of Jesus. And as I pray over you, you just whisper in your own heart. You focus on your own heart. No one else's. You focus on what you want to surrender to him and how you want to invite him into your life so he can do whatever he wants to do. I'm going to pray for each and every one of us. Jesus, we want life to the fullest. We surrender the addictions, the fears, the anxieties, the heartbreaks, the victim mentality that's holding us back. And we say, come and do whatever you want to. Come and do whatever you gotta do. We invite you in. Do it how you want to. Use us. Pick us. We give our lives to you. We surrender to you. We want to kick off this new year. Maybe if the circumstances aren't new or whatever else is doing isn't new, we want to be new. We want the source of our lives to be new. In the name of Jesus, we pick you. Amen. Amen. Why don't we continuously keep thinking about how we want to surrender to God right now, keeping that posture of surrendering as we sing this song, Make Room.